Let's do it.
Hi everyone, welcome
Hi.
back to TVI
Julian
podcast.
Dane.
Carl Donnelly.
Welcome.
117. It's a big old number, isn't it? It's a lot of fucking chat we've done over the last couple of
it's
years.
Nice.
You'd argue it's, you know, how many
too
out of all
much.
The hours we've chatted, how much of it do you think meant anything?
100%.
Do you reckon? I wonder, do you ever think how much of it, do you reckon any of it ever meant anything? Oh, I think, you know, people like listening to have a laugh, but do you think anything ever really resonated with somebody?
Yeah,
sometimes
I think so.
I'd like to think so. I think now and again we're
so,
capable
actually.
Of something quite sincere in amongst all the fucking wanking and paedophile jokes we do. I think now and again we
They're
say
very
something.
Important.
I mean, I'm a bit of a Buddhist, and I believe that laughing at life and the world is the best
you
way
bring
of going.
Light to darkness. I mean, there's no better thing in the world.
Sound like a fucking Jedi or something. It's just what we do, guys. We just bring light to darkness. Imagine that when in an interview, somebody said, "Describe your podcast in like one
We bring
sentence.
Light to darkness. But, oh, that sounds interesting. To tune in.
Tune in and it's us chatting about pedos. anyway, episode 117, we're joined by Leo Kearse, who is a funny stand-up comedian, does a podcast.
He's a good egg, Leo, isn't he?
He is. He gets a lot of shit online from people. You know, he's sort of, it sounds like a self-proclaimed right-wing comedian, but he's not right-wing. He's not out fucking, you know, sort of marching down, shouting Nazi
slogans.
It's good
to have a balance, isn't it? All
you know,
different
he's just,
voices.
He's a conservative, essentially, as is, you know, there's probably loads, I bet there's loads of secret conservative comedians. I always think that. Do you know what I mean? Ones that just, you know, they're out loud, they'd be banging on about as if they're like some fucking rabid old school lefty.
I'm
and
worse,
actually,
though. I've never voted.
Really? I mean,
yeah.
It's not. Do you know what? That's, some people would say
I
that's worse. I don't.
Do you
I don't.
Not know?
I wouldn't
I just
worry
don't
about it,
know.
Mate.
I just
you
don't
know,
know.
I have. I vote every
I
election.
I feel like unless
but...
I read all the manifestos, like, why am I? Like, people say you should vote. You should vote. I'm like, all right, I'll vote for the other person. So you are then. They're like, no, don't do that. people just want you to vote for what they.
Because people that
for.
You know, a lot of people, I think, convince themselves that it's the be all and end all. People always say, like, you know, people have died to get their vote. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, if they could see how dumb I was about politics, they wouldn't want me to use it.
I know, that's it.
They would have
I
realised
mean,
they
I will,
died in
I,
vain.
I will plan to vote.
No, but
I wasn't
I don't
the
think,
electoral
no, but
roll
genuinely,
at this place last time.
The problem
so,
with
now
voting
I am.
Is, you know, the argument that people always say is, you know, the problem with voting is that it lets everyone do it. And most people aren't informed about politics or anything. So it is a flawed system.
You should be able to, you should have to take a test, I guess. Or like some kind of exam. That's a good idea.
I mean, it's probably, I don't know.
But then the
there's
politicians
some moral
couldn't,
and ethical issues in that. But like,
it would be harder to blag voters into voting for them, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. But ultimately, it has to be an open forum, right? And I get that. But I've never, ever criticised anyone for not voting. I think it's absolutely your right to choose. Do you know, because somebody who thinks, do you know what, I've not done the reading, so I'm not going to do it, is better than somebody who's not done the reading, just picking the one that they see a slogan for and thinking, oh, I'm going to vote for that fucking bloke.
Yeah.
I mean, that's way worse. That's a less informed thing to do.
I just think it's just all salesmen doing a sales job, isn't it? And
Yeah. But anyway, that's what I mean is Leo is one of the few people who's sort of an open, sort of conservative. So he gets a lot of shit, but he's actually a very nice guy. He's a very funny man. And so we got him on to have a nice chat and we have a right laugh and we talk about a bunch of stuff. And me and him do have a disagreement about capitalism, but we have a laugh about it and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's what it's all about, guys. Do you know what I mean?
It's all about we're just bringing light to darkness.
Just bring light to darkness over here at TVI headquarters.
From our bedrooms. Right. Thanks to all our patrons who've signed up over the
thanks.
The
thanks
last
for listening.
Year.
We've got a get together Friday, Sunday, 11 a.m. the 20th of
Sunday,
June, 20th, Father's Day. So bring your dad.
British Standard Time. Bring your dad. Don't fucking run anyone bringing their dad. You leave your dad out of this shit, mate.
Could be your dad's Father's Day present.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna get it up on the big screen.
I'm gonna bring you to a Zoom party with a. No, that's not happening. What else? People can sign up. New patrons, if you want to join, it's patreon.com/wearetvi.
You have to write it in it. You can't search on Patreon.
I think I'm sure that might have changed. But it's okay. when you type that,
someone couldn't find it the other
explicit.
Day.
It says when you type in, when you actually put the web address, it still tells you this is explicit material. It's because we talk about
It's like our OnlyFans.
It is, but just with just with harsh words.
Yeah,
you're saying ball bags.
Just spread cheeks.
Very.
Really.
We had a very popular catch up that went up on Patreon yesterday.
The video went up today. Apologies.
Yeah, the audio went
that.
Out first, and it was people really liked it because we talked about some quite personal stuff that we haven't talked about on
looking
the
after parents.
Yeah, sort of. It's about bereavement and other things like that. So if you want to hear that,
sign up. Have a watch. It will comfort you.
It will. But also we do have a laugh about it at the same time. Because what do we do? What's our catchphrase?
We bring light to darkness, guys.
Right. There we go. Kick back. Listen to episode 117 with us chatting to Leo Kearse.
Bless up.
Hi everyone, welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean, hi.
A guest, comedian, broadcaster. It's broadcaster, right? I always just say that, man. Leo Kearse, welcome.
Hello.
To the podcast.
Nice to be here.
You're the first
broadcaster
guest you've ever had.
Broadcaster was one of those words that had a bit more sort of, cachet in the 80s.
Before the digital age, sort of like, any fucker with an Instagram account's a broadcaster now, isn't it? But I was going to say, you're the first guest we've ever had who's got literally a certificate saying you're not racist. So that's,
it's
very good. Every other guest we've ever had is pretty much,
turned down for mine.
50-50 question.
They failed my theory.
Julian's got 10 points on his license currently.
It's better to fail the theory than the practice when it comes to racism.
Absolutely.
You're not building concentration camps. You got some dodgy opinions, but you haven't actually built any.
That is what we are putting our Patreon money in the bank for. So. because I gather, because basically who we were talking to recently, but because you're somebody who is on social media, you like getting in. We were chatting to Elliot Steele last episode, and he likes winding people up on Twitter. And I think you're of the same mindset. So Julian just keep we keep out of the culture wars, which is
I like spectating
mainly
for
I just can't be arsed. But like I still quite find it quite fun when people are going at it online.
It's ridiculous.
A WhatsApp screenshot is what I'm saying.
Oh, anyone who fucking screenshots a WhatsApp conversation. Because WhatsApp is our last safe space to say terrible things. Anyone who screenshots a WhatsApp conversation is just like, that's scum. That's worse than like being a joke thief or a paedophile. That is just like...
Me and Julian are a couple of thieving pedos, mate. I love a screenshot of it going around a WhatsApp. There's days...
Carl, means a screenshot of Twitter on WhatsApp.
I'm talking about on WhatsApp. Sorry.
Leo means
not the other way around.
Of WhatsApp.
No, that I'm not Dominic Cummings, mate.
This is like a bunch of granddads trying to work out the internet.
It's really funny.
I'm talking about a thumbnail and in a PDF, and it's
have any of you seen Bo Burnham's Netflix special?
Watched it last night.
To watch it, actually.
So I loved it, right? And I just think it's that thing of... It's really funny watching a 30-year-old point out that he's now getting shit for being out of date by young people. When you feel like a... when you sort of... you don't realise you're old until you get told it, essentially, do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then you see all the footballers that you sort of, like, you know, worship when you, they're all, like, dying and in wheelchairs and stuff now.
And it's, and also just how young the ones that are playing now are. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. When you look at the sort of the England team and you realise you could literally be almost all of their dads. Well, Julian probably is half of them.
You banged all their mums, did you?
But
it's like policemen are getting young as well, aren't they?
Policemen. And yeah, it's just public official, like politicians. When you see, like, Labour have got a couple
when
of
they
politicians
kick through your
like
door,
25.
It's like, fucking hell. This is a school outing or what? This is a fancy dress.
But so yeah, it's what was that? I don't know how we got on to, oh yeah, about how we feel, yeah, feeling old when you try and describe WhatsApp and shit. But yeah, so you do you enjoy winding people up on Twitter? Is that, I suppose, because Elliot was saying he does enjoy it.
Oh, people are just such wankers on social media, you know what I mean? Everybody's like, oh, guys, I did this wonderful thing because I'm a wonderful person, you know? Like, I was, it's always...
leave Julian's Twitter out of this, man.
With comedians, it's like, they get offered, they're like, I got offered this amazing opportunity to, you know, be in this advert for whatever big brand it was, but I turned it down because, you know, they didn't, you know, celebrate Pride Month or something. It's like, so you're telling us you got offered all this work. Thanks for telling us that. We're comedians. We don't have any work. And we're fucking, you know, we hate people who get work. And then he tells you turned it down.
I suppose there is that. I understand the mindset. I do think it is like certain people. I think people genuinely aren't doing that in bad faith. I think they're doing it.
I think because, a lot of them do.
No, yeah, I genuinely think, you know, I don't think people, I don't think normal people realise how fucked up comedians' brains are. And I genuinely think a lot of people are like, they think, well, I'm gonna then, what it does is sets a precedent. They're saying, like, not to work for these companies. But then the problem is that the hypocrisy comes from, and this isn't having a go at anyone, this is having a go at everyone, I suppose, in existence. It's the hypocrisy comes from the fact that it's almost impossible in a capitalist society to work for clean money, innit? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh, and it's completely impossible in any other kind of society. Try working for clean money in China or Russia or North Korea. I mean, capitalist society at least gives you the opportunity
to work
for
something. That's the market we're currently trying to break into, mate.
No, I only work Chinese for dirty money.
I don't know if you know, but there's very few Chinese comedy podcasts, so we're currently trying to open up that market.
But yes, it's total hypocrisy. It's like Pride Month. All these like companies came out. It's all these companies who come out and they're like, oh, we're pulling our adverts from GB News. And it's like, you knew, what did you think it was going to be? It wasn't the fucking Disney Channel. You knew exactly what it was going to be. And like, you just did it. So you could then be like, you know, you could hand back your OBE. You know what I mean? It's like Michael Sheen hands back his foot. It's like, don't take the OBE in there. You know what a fucking OBE is. Don't take it in the front. So Michael Sheen had all the fun of having an OBE, receiving an OBE, meeting the Queen, going, there's a free bar. He got to go to the castle and stuff. Like, there's probably fucking dragons and animals we don't get to see. And then he gets all the fun of getting on his fucking high horse, which is one of the animals they had at the party. He gets on his high horse and he hands his OBE back. That guy should be fucking...
I know, I agree. I don't trust anyone that accepts one of them things. But, like, I do think that if you got it, if once you've got it, just keep it, mate. It's not, you know, just fucking don't be giving it back.
Yeah, keep quiet about it. You know what I mean?
In terms of that corporate hypocrisy, there's definitely more of there is more of a backlash against it this year from the people that in the past sort of let it slide a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it is becoming a bit more like, I remember in January, when the fuck was it? But it was oh god, what's Black History Month? Which one? I know, so I sound like such a
you could have your license revoked, mate.
Yeah. Can I borrow your certificate, Leo?
You just fouled the theory.
No, but when Black History Month was, there was I walked past Coutts Bank on the Strand, famous one of the oldest banks in
for posh people.
In existence, isn't it? And like, you know, that's been a bank for 300 years or something, and it had a Black History Month. We're celebrating Black History Month. It's like, I'm pretty sure your bank would have had a fair amount of slave trade money going through it back in the day, man. You were like one of the only banks in London for rich people, and how are people making their money? Like, there is that sort of, it's a constant. You know,
they're the worst virtue signalers, though, aren't they? Like corporations.
Oh, man, they're fucking the worst. Yeah. Like,
we support pride.
It's like,
because you know for a fact, if you know for a fact, like, they're doing all this pride, oh, we're right behind, you know, gay people, not like that, but, you know, we're sort of, you know, we fully support, you know, gay pride and all that in the UK, where we can make money off it.
Places
where they actually need it, like, they're not. And, like, back in the 70s, they were, you know, where was IKEA in the 70s when, like, gay people were genuinely getting persecuted in the UK?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They were building, you could self-assemble a persecution box to persecute gay
people. It's just
in the 70s with IKEA. It's totally PR. They
now
should be,
they make
they should
like
be
strong
it.
Beds to support pride and stuff. It's quite good.
It is. I think, but I do think more and more people are you know, every single time any of them try it now, you know, they get ripped to shreds on social media. So I do think people are starting.
Not
to,
enough though.
Maybe, because it's probably just some young, naive people that, like, you know, genuinely think, yeah, you know, they don't know the context or the history of those companies or how, you know, they don't really know. They're just young, innit?
Yeah, it might be younger people in these companies, that are doing it.
No, so, I mean, people young that aren't, you know, people that see it and think it's a good thing these companies are doing, and not, it's a cynical maneuver.
Yeah, that's
the
other thing. I'm sure
PR.
They're just trying to sell units, aren't they? Essentially, that's all they're doing.
Which they should stick to. They should stick to, and they should come, like, they shouldn't, but they shouldn't pretend that they're, like, you know, a nice, warm, loving person, because they're not. They're a corporation trying to make as much money as they can within the sort of regulatory, you know.
I suppose they're doing it to sell to sell units, aren't they? But it's people who believe. Them are like naive and stupid, I guess.
A lot of the time it backfires as well. Like Gillette had that thing,
how to be
they were slagging off men. They're like, oh, disgusting, horrible men, oh, you straight men, you're disgusting.
Well, I think it was
fire razor, and it totally backfired and they lost like $8 billion.
Yeah, because I don't understand who they think their market was, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's all well and good saying, like, be a better man if your product is aimed at the sort of demographic of men that are probably more open to that message. Yeah. Whereas Gillette is just what fucking... Basically, Gillette's market is men over 50 and people buying a Father's Day present. It's the only fucking people buying that shit.
Yeah.
So,
and
like,
it's
who
people
do they think it was going to work?
Yeah. It's people who can create hair with their face. So feminist men who, like, agree with that message, they shave, like, what, twice a year?
Is that a little bit fluff? I thought that's not true. I think
I'm reaching. Well, I've got like is, point.
I would say the when
my
I hear,
body, I'm making some hair in
I'll
my
do
face.
My chest.
When I hear people use, you know, sort of critical stereotypes of effeminate men, often the bearded hipster is thrown around. So I don't know if, you know, there's too many different stereotypes there.
I like to use all of them. My certificate says I can.
Well, we were chatting before we hit record that you've been on. Basically, I'm in Australia. I fled the UK just temporarily, but so I'm out of the loop, and I love being out of the loop because I don't think people realise that the UK comedy scene is so fractured. You know, there's so many different factions always arguing.
Oh, it was great when lockdown happened, the UK comedy community all pulled together to accuse each other of rape.
Well, that's what I mean. So at the minute, there's no topic. Anything happens, it used to be comedians took the piss out.
Heartwarming.
Yeah, just all these lists. I was on one of the
come
lists.
Come together as one.
Were you on the list?
Accuse each other of the rape.
I was on one. And it was in Comic Sans.
I saw that list. I think we talked about the
list. Were on the list, were you?
I was,
oh yeah.
But in the Amber section, I was like, fucking
I should
Amber.
Never have compiled it. Sorry. did I spell your name right?
Julian put that out to put people off his scent.
And at the bottom it said, not Julian Dean.
It's like, that's a bit as much use as having a certificate that says you're not racist.
But what was it?
The list was bullshit, wasn't it? Sorry.
Well,
I remember
that
list now.
Yeah,
totally
I think once
the
person, I think basically there was it wasn't a legally compiled document. So when the people were told that it could have crossed some legal boundaries, they quickly rescinded it.
But you must have been like, what the fuck am I doing on this list?
Well, I was delighted.
Quickly got rid of the bodies.
I was delighted because it was funny. Like, it was all, there's people, there were people, they threw a few on there that, you know. That,
I know somebody that was quite, like, it really shook them that they were on it.
That's the thing. Yeah, other people, oh my God. Like, some of the, I mean, I won't name names, but like, some of the people were genuinely, they phoned me up and they were like, you know, fuck, you know, what's, you know,
like, well, I know. I mean, we should probably shouldn't say any of the names. I think it was taken down quick, and any of the names went public. But other than you, who were at the top of the list, but it was no. But I know. Still, I know
twice.
I know one person in particular who was the one who led the sort of like, I'm gonna sort of go legal on these people, and he was.
And did
livid.
They go legal?
I think there was some threats of, and then it all got sort of removed, and the people came out and said, "Look, it's not, you know." They
he went
said,
legal on it and then went to jail because he was guilty. Got a backfired.
He's now doing 25 years. But what I was saying before we got into the list was was saying that currently, whenever I do open Twitter, I still see the odd sort of the factions going at each other. Yeah. And at the minute, I've seen sort of GB News seems to be the hot topic of discussion, and you are you've been on it. So I thought
I was on it last night, yeah. And I'm on it on Saturday.
Nazi television.
Yeah.
What is it? A bit like RT News. It's kind of.
It's just a news. It's a new news station, from what I gather. And I just
think it's pretty much the same as like another news channel. It's just. It's actually kind of better. They've got really good. Like, Andrew Neil is like the best interview. I watched his interview with Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, and he's totally holding his feet over the fire about, you know, the fact that we're storing up all this debt.
It's
not going to be serviceable. If interest rates rise by like 1%, the cost of servicing the debt goes up by £80 billion a year. So, and this is stuff that nobody's talking about. And this is stuff that's going to, it could be calamitous.
Yeah.
And we're obviously going to have to put interest rates up because inflation is shooting up now that we're out of lockdown.
Credit, like, you know, I'm an old lefty, right? Politically, sort of, you know, I've never fucking won an election in my lifetime. But I've got a soft spot for Andrew Neil. In that I do think he is, even though he's an old, you know, One Nation conservative at heart, I do think as a political journalist, he tends to, you know, be pretty objective and sort of, he's as harsh on, you know, especially when he's interviewing people, he's harsh on everyone. Yeah. So I've always had a soft spot for him. So, you know, the fact that he's there gives it some, you know, it gives it credibility, obviously.
Yeah, and they've also got they've got other great people as well.
Well, there's loads of people. They've I think the response to
it. Andrew Doyle. I'm doing Andrew Doyle's show on Saturday. So he's, you know, he's probably one of the greatest comic minds and satirists of this generation.
Titiana McGrath, isn't
it? Big
show. Yeah, yeah. And Jonathan Pye.
And I like Andrew. I'm saying that. But like, that's of the generation, there's like, surely every generation, there's only one.
What about Julian Dean?
Decent comic.
He is a very smart guy, isn't he?
He's very clever. Lovely man, actually.
Dead smart. Yeah, dead nice.
And this is a PhD from Oxford or something.
This is what pisses me off about the comedy community. Like, we get like Andrew Doyle gets slammed as a Nazi. I get slammed as a Nazi. I mean, I reckon if Hitler turned up today, he'd be pretty disappointed in the caliber of Nazis.
A tall Scottish bloke and a gay geezer. He'd be livid.
He'd be like, what the fuck? Where's the hatred? Where's the goose stepping and the uniforms? But we get slammed, like, what's his name? Christian Riley, who I've always sort of got on with, and, you know, I disagree with him politically, but, you know, we've always got on. And he's like,
he's a good guy.
I used to think he was a nice guy. He called me a right wing demagogue because, because I had to look up what a demagogue was.
What is, like, a demagogue?
It's like a beast from Hades that you have to kill with a silver ice pick. No, it's basically a politician.
I like Christian. I've known him for years, but I do think he has exaggerated.
Well, let me slag him off for a bit. Anyway, but like it basically means somebody who appeals to somebody's basest instincts to get votes, like, you know, Trump did. You know, like a populist. Although, you know, the argument could be made that, you know, Trump was reaching out to those people who had no political voice and no representation. So, you know, he's doing what he should be doing. But I was running to, like, get the hate crime bill cancelled. And the hate crime bill is genuinely terrible legislation. I mean, it's just being used to, you know, there's a mother of autistic twins who's been arrested and charged under hate crime. legislation because she tweeted a photograph of a suffragette ribbon.
Read something about this. It sounded bonkers, mate.
Yeah, yes.
She tweeted a photograph of a suffragette.
Of a suffragette ribbon. You know, the ribbons they tied on railings because she's standing up for women's rights and stuff.
And wasn't it something to do if they've claimed it was a death threat or something? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, they said it could be interpreted as a noose. But this is the thing with all this hate crime stuff. It's all perception. It's all ridiculous. You know, there's no body. It's not like a murder. There's not a body. It's what somebody feels.
That's
it's
the problem with it, isn't it? Like hate speech. Who determines whether it's hate speech or not?
Exactly. Yeah. So
that's
me,
the problem
me
with
running
it.
For some, you know, I'm trying it's to make sure we have some objectivity and some rules so, you know, this can't be. Because at the moment it's just being used, you know, politically, like Sturgeon used it to get rid of one of our political rivals, Joanna Cherry, accused her of transphobia. Boom, that's, you know, her gone. People get called out. Nick Dixon got accused of being a bigot. You know, boom, that's him, like, you know, not getting booked by clubs. I got accused of being a racist. Boom, that's me not getting booked by some clubs. So it's just being maliciously. So it's mad that, like, you know, somebody like Christian Riley would turn around to me and say, oh, you're a, you know, right-wing demagogue because you're like, you know, you think people shouldn't be like have their lives destroyed.
Yeah, but I do think, you know, it's one of them things, and this isn't me, I'm not defending or criticizing Christian, but I think it's it's all Twitter chat and Facebook chat, you know what I mean? I don't think people genuinely believe 95% of the shit they say on social media. So, like, In the cold light of day, in a green room having a conversation, I think if you and Christian talked, just in general, just had a little backstage chat, that none of that would be real.
Would end in a fight, you know?
No, I don't think it would. I genuinely think, you know, I do think the problem is how people
converse online. It's like road rage, isn't
online.
It? Like, you're much more different in your car.
Yeah.
It's totally like road rage.
Than if you're in a shop, you know, and then someone steps in front of you. The fuck out of you fucking cunt.
You told you to walk.
Yeah, I do. I genuinely think most of this, the sort of arguing in comedy isn't it, especially, and the reason it got elevated during lockdown is because no one was seeing each other in green rooms. No one was bumping into each other at gigs.
Yeah, you're
that
even
actually,
more
that polices
detached.
It a bit when you think, you know, you're not going to call someone a right-wing demagogue if you're doing the fucking Glee with them next week.
You're
around
his ass having a cup of tea or something.
So I do think,
demagogue,
you know,
can you pass the sugar?
And it is. I think social media just feeds on exaggeration, doesn't it? Like, nothing's going to get likes if it says, oh, you know, if I wrote a thing saying I've just had a chat with Leo and, you know, we probably don't agree on like who he'd vote for and sort of we've got probably some slightly different cultural opinions on certain things, you know, that ain't going to get any shares or likes, is it? But social media has created the situation where people now, I don't think people are realizing they're doing it, but it's they want the fucking likes, mate. They want to share this. People, I want people on my side, you know, and they think it is, you know, they think it's a war and stuff.
It'd
and
be
it's
so
not.
Boring if everyone thought the same thing and voted for the same thing.
Unless it was they all thought the same as me, and I'd love it. Unless it, yeah, love same. It, mate. But yeah, I do. I'm so cynical about just how bad.
But the demagogue insult doesn't. I don't know exactly what demagogue means. It don't seem like that a harsh insult, is it?
It was the misrepresentation. It's like, saying I'm just appealing to people's basest instincts to try and get votes. And no, I was actually appealing to quite a high instinct.
Essentially, comedy is essentially spending 20 minutes appealing to people's basest interests to try and get laughs. That's what we do for a living. So I don't think that's weird to use that as a criticism.
It's a misrepresentation, though, isn't it? Of what you
totally,
were
doing. That's, you know, don't get. I do think it's just a mad exaggeration of the fact that you've got a different opinion to him on who should run
and it's probably not even a different opinion. I mean, I doubt that Christian Riley thinks that women should be thrown in jail for tweeting a picture of a suffragette ribbon.
No, I think, but Christian is a very strong socialist economically. He's massively into like socialist economics, so I would say your biggest difference of opinion with him would probably be where you'd stand on economics on the whole. Like, yeah. I know. So
say, it's about freedom. You know, I think people should be free from government interference if they tweet a picture of a suffragette ribbon. And I also think people should be free from government interference telling them what job they have to do, how much money they get, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like, I just, you know, the great thing about capitalism is you can do what you want. You want to start a business, you can start a business. In Cuba, you're told you're a cleaner. And yeah, that's yeah. it.
But I, like, well, I don't think I'm a fisherman. I'm a fisherman. Or,
they're like, no, you're a cleaner.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I think everyone thinks it's that or that. Whereas, you know, in a better world that was, you know, where people could be trusted, you could have a nicer version of one.
We should have a. There's a nice version of, like, socialism where, like, some of the people are told they're cleaners.
No, but there's some, you know...
Why can't people just decide? Why can't people just be free to choose?
I know, but to say that capitalism, you know, capitalism isn't all roses and flowers, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's lifted hundreds of millions of people out of poverty.
It's also driven hundreds of millions into poverty as well. So there's
If you look at the World Health Organization statistics from the start of the Industrial Revolution.
Oh, I know, in terms of the general standard of living, it's all risen, but that's not to say that certain groups haven't had a more negative effect. It's an overall figure that you know, they were.
Well, yeah, should be free to choose cleaner or nurse. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's important.
The overall figure shows, like, you know, like, we've basically eliminated poverty. I mean, like,
real term poverty is like, people don't realize that when they think the world's the worst it's ever been. That's not true at all.
Yeah.
You know, real poverty is
probably the best it's ever been, isn't it?
Yeah. Technically,
I think it is the best.
The best of times and the worst of times.
Yeah, maybe. I think, like, because things are good, everybody's got to, like, try and ruin it by falling out on social media.
But there is that is a real belief, isn't it? There is this argument that things sort of peaked, you know, around the sort of millennium time. And that's what, in the West, we're talking here, you know, where we all sort of had it a bit too good, them sort of new Labour years, where it was all a bit fucking, oh my God, like, you know, sort of cool Britannia. And then it was sort of people just, it was too good for a bit that we all just went fucking mental. That's what, and part of me, I'm sympathetic to that idea. I think, you know, it's, we're very, and people forget how lucky we are to live in a country where we can have these tedious sort of arguments about, you know, abstract shit, because we've got it all right, innit?
Yeah. What's it like in Australia? I wanted to move. I was in Australia for most of lockdown.
Well, that's the last time I saw you. We bumped into each other in Adelaide last year. I think it was Adelaide last year. Was it Adelaide or was that the year before?
That was last year, yeah.
So I just got to Australia and then the world ended. And then me and my wife had a mad dash back to the UK because she was pregnant and we were worried about getting stuck here. Even though she's from here, we were like,
then you went back.
We went back to the UK and then.
But then you went back to Australia.
Came back to Australia, yeah. Because when it turns out that coronavirus wasn't just a 2-month blip that we thought it was, we decided we'd want to be holed up here for a while.
Nice.
It's nice. It's a lovely place. What would you
I wish I'd stayed
here?
In Australia. Oh, it's amazing. I wish I'd stayed. I was staying with this lassie, Stacey, in Perth, and she was so amazing. And, like, you know, it was just such a blissful time. But my dad's got, like, cancer and stuff. So I came back, you know, to sort of spend time with him before he died.
So we're well
he's still he's still he's still fucking alive. He's still alive. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm like, you know what I mean? I turned my life upside down.
It's a hard one. Weirdly, me and Julian were talking about this last night on our Patreon catch-up about sort of, I've got two ill parents at the minute. So I'm flying back to the UK. We're flying back in a couple of weeks. And it is that thing of, you know, I know, I've known people that have had sort of, you know, parents with sort of serious illnesses and they suddenly, like, shit, they're going to die anytime soon. And then their parents are still around 15 years later. My gran, I swear to God, looked like she was on death's door about 30 years ago when I was a kid. Yeah. And she only died about 5 years ago. She was like 100. She'd been in a hospital bed for like 15 years, just smiling. Yes. Just like totally gone.
£7 million.
It's mad because, like, well, it's like in The Sopranos. You know, in The Sopranos.
Your inheritance, mate, that's paying for that bedpan.
You know, when Polly, like, you know, he's old and he goes to the old folks' home. And he sees, like, one of his mum's friends or something. He's like, you know, how come when I was a kid, you were old I know I'm old and you're still old. Like old people.
You're still the same.
Yeah. Old people can like go for like decades.
Yeah.
My dad got ill and was dead within about a year, to be honest. But
right. He did it the proper way. Mate.
Some people do the opposite, didn't they? Yeah. They walked in front of a bus.
My wife's gran was she was in a home, but like she was totally compos mentis. You know, her eyesight had gone. But she, you know, I remember like we went to visit her a few years ago and like you're having a chat and it's like, oh, she's fit as a fiddle. And then basically she was 99 and she didn't want to be 100. You could tell whenever you brought it up, you'd say, like, are you going to be 100 in 6 months? She'd be like, I don't want to be 100. She'd flat out say it. And then basically about 2 months before her 100th birthday, you could tell she just went, I'm out, mate. Stopped eating, just gave up, and basically died like 2 weeks before her 100th birthday because she just didn't want to hit 100, which is that's something admirable in this. Like, and I'm going out on my fucking turn.
I think
mate.
When they go, they do kind of give up themselves mentally, don't they? I think it's like a subconscious thing. They just like,
but it doesn't
like
when work my dad when you're was young. Dying. I gave up 15 years ago and I'm still fucking walking around.
I just want to die now. But I remember my dad sitting up in hospital and he looked at me, and his eyes were really wide, and it was like, it's like he took me in for the last time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he just sort of like really stared at me. It was a bit weird.
And he died and of embarrassment. And... You're his son. Sorry. That's too far.
Fucking hurt, man.
I know. That was just one grade over being too far. He's very proud of you.
What cancer has your dad got, Leo?
So he had prostate,
flavor. Not really.
It had prostate cancer, but now it's gone into his spine and stuff.
Prostate is the one that is most treatable, isn't it?
Apparently everybody's got it by the time you're like, you know, 75 or 80, you've got it. But like the thing is, when you're old, like there's a lassie at my school who got cancer, and it went so fast because she was young, so the cells are like replicating all the time.
Yeah.
But if you're 80 and you get cancer, it grows really slowly because your body's not, you know, your cells aren't.
Should be the other way around, shouldn't it?
I know. You think the cancer's there, like, oh, fuck, man. What I pick an old person for? This is going to take ages. It's like, nope. I just want to rip through a young person.
Well, I suppose the cancer, not that it's got a conscience, but it doesn't want the person to die because it dies. Is there something
that's
that?
Norm MacDonald's got like a great joke, isn't he, about that?
It's not a transmissible disease. What's Norm MacDonald's joke about?
He's got a bit about how people describe it as a battle. He waged a battle against cancer.
It's really bad
to view it like that, because that means when they lost, I don't want to die. Like my uncle died a loser. and he goes, if it was a battle, that would suggest there's a winner and a loser. Like, but the cancer also dies. It's not like the cancer, it's not like they die and then the cancer takes over their life and shows up at their job on Monday
morning.
Yeah,
starts walking around, floppy human.
What I don't understand is why all these rich people, like, you know, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates and stuff, they're spending all this money on, like, you know, what, eliminating malaria, which Bill Gates is never going to get malaria. Like, he's never going to get it. And like, why aren't they investing into, like, immortality and, like,
Bezos
stuff like
off
that?
To space, for fuck's sake. Like, it's like,
just,
you know, you've got so much, I know you've got that much money, you can go to space, which is insane. But
they don't want immortality, do they? Because the population problem, I guess.
Well, do it for me.
It ain't
going to
affect them, is it? Yeah, so you think Jeff Bezos is going to be affected by the population problem?
Can't you just do me and everyone I love?
The thing with the population, we've got a population crisis because nobody's having kids anymore because you can't afford to have kids.
Don't worry,
you can't afford to have
kids. I've got that covered.
And buy
can't
housing,
afford to have kids,
which is caused by capitalism, which brings us back to our
it's not caused by the housing shortage. Is not caused by capitalism. It's caused by government regulation. We're not allowed. It's very cheap to build houses, but we're not allowed to build them because of NIMBYism.
One of the problems in terms of housing is the amount of housing being bought up by corporations for rental reasons. It's a massive problem in America, and it's coming into the UK, which you can't say that isn't
capitalism
at its worst.
That's the worst side. Rentier capitalism, which doesn't provide, like some like Amazon provides service, you know, value in people's lives. Rentier capitalism is just sucking the value.
Lloyds of
out.
London is currently buying property because the thought process I think is that the future is going to be a renter's world, isn't it?
But that is a
dangerous concept for home ownership. So you know there is a but that's a separate chat on a different
platform. That means there'd be more homes, though.
Yeah, to rent. But you take away people's
ability.
When
people die, their home's given back and not just left.
That's an interesting concept.
But, but ultimately, the fact, like, especially home ownership is one of the only things that has helped people out of, one of the biggest things that's helped people out of the working classes in the last 50 years. Like that sort of, people being able to buy their council houses and stuff took a whole generation of people out of, you know, not poverty, but being out of the working classes.
Only because the house prices then flew up and they could sell and buy somewhere
better. Or they could pass them down into their family, and that creates wealth. Yeah. Like they've basically created their middle class family and a middle class generation, haven't they?
Yeah.
Buying that
and created Tory voters. I loved it when did you see the head
the
of
fucking Ross Clark ended up voting Tory.
But did you see the head of Black Lives Matter in America, Patrice Couleurs? So she got some stick because she bought loads of property. She bought like 5 luxury villas and stuff like that, which is sort of against the sort of Marxist socialist ideals of Black Lives Matter. But she was interviewed by this journalist about it, and in her defense, she said, "No, but I want to provide for my family." It's like that's a Tory policy right there. You've become a Tory. You've gone from like being like Black Lives Matter to being
no one wealthy isn't a Tory. You know what I mean? I know they might vote not Tory, but they live a Tory life. That is, you can't, the moment you buy a fucking house, you're a Tory, mate. That's in my view. I grew up in a council flat. My parents still live in that council flat. Anyone who owned property was a Tory in our mind. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't care. You could, all these people that, you know, and it does happen. This happens sometimes with, you know, in comedy, there's like, you know, when you get rich comedians sort of banging on about wealth inequality, and it's like, well, that's because you've got most of it, mate. Do you know what I mean? Like, sort of, you can't. Rich people have no right to talk about fucking wealth inequality, innit? Give your money to someone else, then, bruv.
Yeah. That's the thing.
I was going to say, Bo Burnham. Just, I want to recommend Bo Burnham's special to people. There's a song where it's him trying to work out what he can do. And in the song, it's got a line about, do I give my money away? And then he goes, nope. Like, it's him pointing out his own hypocrisies. But sorry, what were you going to say?
I can't remember.
Oh, sorry. Have you
so, Leo, do you think there's a lot of things wrong with capitalism, though? Yeah, it's not like perfect.
It's not a perfect system, and it needs checks and balances, you know, to make sure companies don't dump waste in the river and all that kind of stuff. So it needs to be monitored and regulated in a sort of socially beneficial way. But I think in its essence, and to prevent sort of monopolism, because capitalism tends towards monopolism, which is just, you know, that's bad.
Like 3 people owning everything.
Yeah. But they're just the core.
If I'm one of them, we're good.
the core sort of essence of socialism, the difference between capitalism and socialism is like, you know, capitalism is me spending my money on what I want. So I'm going to spend it well because I know what I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, socialism is some disinterested, corrupt apparatchik, like hundreds of miles away from me, deciding what I want my money spent on. They don't know what I fuck, but they don't know what I want.
What
I want
if
a
you
bike.
Told them what you want and then they spent it for you? Would you be all right with that?
Why do we have this extra layer of bureaucracy? And it never works like that. You know, in East Germany under the Stasi, anybody wanted to buy a car, there was a 7-year waiting list, and you got put on a list, probably written in Comic Sans, saying that you're a problematic person because you wanted to
have
be
you
in
seen
control
the cars,
of your own.
The cars were cool as fuck, man. Have you ever seen some? They're still, if you go to like parts of, you know, the Eastern Bloc, there's still like some of them cars knocking around. Them like old, they're like old larders and shit. They look cool.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
People used to buy them in the UK.
My mate had a Yugo. Yeah, my mate had a Yugo, and it was like indestructible. We called it the shed.
My mate.
I don't know why it was called the shed, because sheds are really destructible. But like, man, this thing was like, you know, you could fucking drop this from the fucking space station, and it would still like.
Well, they were used in banger car racing. A lot of people bought larders to do demolition derbies because they were literally be driving them into each other, and just like just little dent. Fucking amazing things.
That used to be a cuss in school. Your mum's got a larder.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. They're not around anymore, are they?
No, I reckon
they're
not. No,
they're Skoda. There's Skodas, but they're Skodas. But Skodas are good now. They're basically
Skodas are really good now, apparently.
But
best family cars.
Man, I miss having a shit car. Like, it was great having a shit car because anybody, you know, when you get road rage, like somebody in an Audi A5 or something.
Don't care
up,
if you just ram them.
Yeah. I'm like, come on then, drive into me. We'll see who walks away with like the highest value of damage in their car. Me and my like 150-pound Polo. Yeah. Are you in your fucking brand new? I mean, there was a guy. There was a guy. Like, because I tried to fix the brake light was the brake switch went. So I tried fixing it. I got the brake switch and I fitted it myself because I was skint. And but it wouldn't work. So sometimes the brake lights would come on when I wasn't tapping the brakes. So this guy thought I was brake checking him. He thought I was slamming on the brakes when he was driving behind me. He pulls up next to me at the lights. He's all, "You fucking, you car shit. What the fuck? You know, you brake checking me." I was like, "Man, this guy's going crazy." So I leaned over. I had the crowbar around his head. You know the things for winding down the windows, the handle. Well, I went over to wind down the window to shout back at him, and that handle came off in my hand.
You get out, you're carrying the door. You just stand up through the roof. Pulled over, did he? So it was gonna go. Yeah, were driving.
Yeah, he pulled up next to me at the lights and he was all like, "Fuck you," and all this stuff. And I was like, "What? What's he
That's such a
about?
Bold thing to do. Like, I always think when people like road rage shout something at somebody, they have no idea who's in that car, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't know who's going to get out of it, how big they are, what they're fucking doing.
Yeah. I was with Quincy coming back from a gig and he's a big geezer.
Yeah, he can box and stuff as well.
Big boxer geezer. And someone was bibbing me from behind and Quincy said, "It's..." And then they pulled up next to me and Quincy said, "Just sit back." And I moved out of the way and he just gave him this stare, man. And I just moved out of the way and he was there. It was quite funny. And the guy's just like, "Oh." There was a car full of them. They just like all looked forward.
Oh shit! That's why I've always been I've got a no road rage rule. Even if in your head you're thinking you fucking cunt, just don't press the horn, mate. I knew. Yeah, I know people that used to
carry weapons. People overuse horns, don't they, man? I hate the sound.
I genuinely, my last car I had before I got rid of my car, I don't think I ever heard the horn. I just never. I'm not impatient enough to beep it if somebody sort of just takes a bit of time getting off the lights. I don't care, mate. Take fucking
Because it doesn't speed
seconds.
Them up.
No, and like,
I just only use it when you've got to alert somebody, like somebody who's going to reverse into me because they didn't know I was behind them.
Yeah.
So you're going to come into park and there was a car behind me, so I couldn't reverse back, and they went to, so I was like beep beep beep.
It should be used for that, but there's proper traffic and people start.
It's an aggressive sound now, though, isn't it? It's like
it's horrible.
You're not alerting anyone. You're saying "you fucking cunt" when you bib it.
Also, I don't know how the horn works. Isn't it?
Record your voice. Everyone's horn should be their voice shouting.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Not you cunt.
If your horn was just your name said out loud, people wouldn't be using it that much, innit? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think we need to wrap it up. I've just seen the time and you've got another thing to go and do.
Oh, yeah.
That's flown by. It went really quick. But it's been very fun chatting to you, Leo. You've got a podcast, haven't you, that you do with Darius?
Yeah, Nico.
Nico, of course.
Nico Yearwood. And Mooch Michaels.
Oh, three of you do it? Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's four of us because Mooch Michaels is like the producer. So funny.
He's a nice guy.
He chips in as well. Yeah, he's really nice. It's great.
As
to
are the
be,
others
like,
as well. But I mean, he's, you know,
that's
he,
a good
he's
bunch
a comedians
of guys.
We know, but he's,
No, there's a great sort of scene, comedy scene in London now with Vauxhall Comedy.
It's
Top
great,
Secret,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And Fulham. Like, they're nice, really nice clubs. And they're also like, they're open minded. You know what I mean?
There's one in Fulham, is there?
Yeah. So, there's full. I don't know. It sort of stopped. It's more. I think it's more open mic during the week, and then. But they pack them in and
that's
get loads.
Julian will do it.
Sorry.
I'll drive you there. I'll come and watch the pro night.
Fuck, they have to do that in LA. I was chatting to a mate in LA about how you just got to just roll up and hang out at gigs to get gigs. It's so embarrassing, mate. I just wouldn't be a comedian if that was the rule, man. I'd have given
you
up
get
on
like,
day two.
Yeah, Darius was in New York. You're getting like 2 minute spots.
Oh, it's mad. Like one's doing longer than like 7 minutes at any gig. Although it's not that dissimilar here. Club comedy in Australia is very much like that. Like everyone's doing 10 minutes, and you don't, obviously the money reflects that. So. Like weekend clubs here don't pay well at all because
they have more comics on,
more comics doing less time. But I think it's sort of this egalitarian thing of like they want, you know, because it's not a big scene, there's not many clubs, they just try and give everyone a little bit of work, do you know what I mean? Which is nice, but when you want more money, it's not So when you want to just put me on last and give me a bit extra, it doesn't work.
But you tour and do like the, because Dan Willis, there's some nice gigs up the coast, Sunshine Coast or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I haven't, because I basically did the comedy festival. I did some stuff before and afterwards. I did Sydney Comedy Festival. I did some road show out in Queensland and then came back, and I've done a few gigs here, but then I'm going back next, back to London in 2 weeks. So I'm basically just winding things down now.
Yeah,
which is nice, but it'd be good to get. I'm missing London, to be honest, so it'll be nice to get back. But other than that, what's your podcast called so people can find it?
Oh, yeah, so it's called Three Speech Podcast.
Three, the number three.
Because there's four of us.
It's good. It's one of those accurate names. And it's on, where is it on? Just everywhere. Just type it in.
Like, yeah, YouTube podcast and stuff. It's actually hard to find. When I try and find it on YouTube, I type in Three Speech Podcast and it doesn't come up. So,
Shadow banned. Yeah. Already, mate.
Put a link to it somewhere, right? Like on your socials or something.
You probably have got a link somewhere.
Oh, I'll plug my YouTube. I've got like my YouTube's. We've only got like 100 followers on Three Speech, but I've got loads on YouTube from my videos that I do myself. So okay, I'll plug that instead.
Yeah, do that.
So yeah, Leo Kerse on YouTube. Cool.
KEARSE.
But yeah, that's right. That, people can find you on Twitter, having arguments with people and winding up everyone.
Yeah.
Or on the road, winding people up.
What's your Twitter?
Leo Kerse.
Just Leo Kerse. Cool. Yeah. I think that's it. Julian, any other business?
Thanks to our new patrons. We've got a get together this Sunday at 11 a.m., the 20th of June, Father's Day.
Yeah, so come and
celebrate with your father by joining with him.
How many things a week do you do for your patrons?
We do a couple of
catch-ups a week. We do a get-together, like maybe once a month or two.
Little Zoom part, like we just all have a chat. And it's nice because there's no pressure. It tends to only be about 30, 40 people show up and only about sort of 10, 15 have their cameras on and actually get involved in chat. It's quite,
people really enjoy it though.
People are starting to become
you've got to know people quite well, like you have regulars and it's like doing a little gig. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, we tend to just do a little catch up every week, extra episode just for Patreon, and that's where we sometimes slag people off. sometimes we chat about personal stuff. We had a lovely big, sort of quite a big, mean, deep and meaningful last night that people really liked because we chatted about some personal issues. But, that's all it is. It's a nice thing. People get extra stuff for very little money and it supports the podcast. But that's it. People can go on patreon.com/wearetbi. People can go and check out Leo, all his stuff. That's it, innit?
You should come on again, Leo, one time, because I feel like we just got started.
Time. Yeah.
We're getting to learn about politics.
Riley on and have it do the head to head. We'll share the debate.
If you want to, like, cause I ran for election, so like if you wanted to.
Oh, you ran in Scotland, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
For what? What position?
The leader of the country. Member of the Scottish
the
Parliament.
The Führer.
Sort of like, that was one of my first recommendations if I got in. But for Scottish Parliament, so it's like this sort of, it's like Westminster, but like a shit one.
Oh, I saw you on a big billboard. Wasn't Darius on it as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Darius was my election agent.
And would you, I know obviously you didn't get into Parliament,
no,
but would you run again? Is it something you'd actually want to do genuinely? Or was it something you were doing as a bit of a, a bit of a novelty just to
I wasn't really running to win. I was just running to raise awareness of the hate crime bill.
Right.
And just try and get that repealed. I think it will get repealed eventually. But I'd love to run again if there's like any other billionaires out there who want to bankroll me. That'd be great.
I'll have a think about it, man.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to do it with my own money. That'd be a terrible idea.
No, absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, we'll chat to you about that next time. Next election, we'll get you on when you're running for the next ones. That's it. Thanks for listening, listeners.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
I died of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm alright, bro.